بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Whilst we were children, we wished to attend the reunion masjid, Spingoreel Masjid, that's known as nowadays. Opposite the masjid was one chacha, we used to call him Hadi Suleiman. Quite a regular musalli, fair looking, nice beard. So one day he was seated there on the bench. He wasn't a very talkative person, but would talk sense. So one day he sat down and there was some discussion. Two youngsters were racing with cars and both ended up in an accident, both died. So he says, they have worked, and what have they worked for? It was a lesson for us. Now we, in that age, at that age, youth, you want that excitement, and you want that type of challenge. But that word stuck in my mind. They worked, they strive, but what they strive for? In other words, it wasn't a meaningful end. It was an end, but not a meaningful end. A Muslim should look for something that is meaningful, something that is lasting, something that is beneficial to him, to others, something that he will be pleased with, he will be cheered with, and his creator will be pleased with. That's what a Muslim should look towards. That must be his outlook. So these type of youngsters you hear every now and then, in that youth, you want a challenge, you want something to work towards. And that adrenaline it's bubbling within you, it's active within you. It wants some type of exposure. Something, do something. You won't let you remain still and calm. Do something. So what this chacha is saying, that you must do something, but do something that is meaningful. Do something that is lasting. Do something that is good for you and pleasing to you and your creator. That's what he was saying. Little words, few words he said, but this was the meaning behind it. So the opportunity of life is one opportunity, you don't get a second chance. You may have never heard that anybody was deposited in Dayal Road or Book Street and he came back. You go with a one-way ticket, you don't come back. Nobody, I don't know if you heard anybody. These two Kabristans we know about, other Kabristans we don't know about. But up till now we haven't heard that anybody went inside and got a second chance. In our mind, Malakul Maut, I didn't prepare myself. One break, we'll see you right again. And he gave him a second chance. You can't come again. You come, and you come for good. There's no second chance. So the spirit of life, that is the youth, that is the most valuable period, most valuable phase of your life. Hadith Sahib Rahmatullah used to say, Zindagi gayi Jawani gayi zindagani gayi. What? Jawani gayi to zindagani gayi. And your youth perishes as though your life has perished. What you could do when you were young, you were bubbly, you were strong. As the youth passes away, now you can't do it. Can't be active. As a young boy, they tell you, jump down 10 stairs, you can fly down the stairs. Yeah? And they say, run up the stairs, you can perhaps ascend once in one go, you can ascend 5 stairs. But you can do it. And you can jump down also, 5 stairs, 7 stairs at a time, you can just hop. You don't feel anything about it. Yeah? But now at the age of, say, 40, try and do it. Try and do that. Jump 5 stairs or 7 stairs. Perhaps 5 days you'll have to be in bed after that. So what you can do in this youth, you can't do afterwards. And Allah Pak likes that youth. He likes the worship of the youth. As for the old man, 40 and over 40, then he's already weak, right? He's already weak. The masti and the excitement that was in him is quarter dead. I won't say full dead, it's quarter or one third dead. It's not like what it used to be in the initial stages. So as it is, he's got something supporting him to the hereafter, that the masti in him has already been sliced. And he sees the weakness in him. Gradually the white hair begins to appear. If not much, 1-2 white hairs begins to appear on his beard, on his head. Then the sicknesses, they start off. 35, 40. Someone has got pressure, someone has got sugar, someone has got what, someone has got what. So all these things begin to appear in him. And they are as though the warning of Allah Ta'ala. They are the signals of Allah Ta'ala. قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ نَذِيرٌ أَوَلَمْ نُعَمِّرْكُمْ مَا يَتَذَكَّرُ فِيهِ. Right? So Allah Ta'ala has sent warners. And this white sicknesses, illnesses, all are warners of Allah Ta'ala. They don't just come like that. Allah Pak sends this warning to human beings. I'm sure you haven't heard of an animal greying up, whitening up. An insan, a human being, he will whiten up. So that whitening up is like a warner sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a signal. It's a signal now the time is up. Right? See, when the plane is on the descent, then they say, fasten your seat belts. Now you're coming to the end, right? They also see the need to give you a signal, right? They also see a need to give you a signal. If you're going into another country, they say also, apart from fastening your belt, your disembarkment cards, get your passport, everything ready, and present it as you come out onto the counter. So they prepare you in advance, don't they? Okay. So Allah Ta'ala doesn't give you the warning just as when you're disembarking from this earth, long time in advance. 35, 40, Allah Pak's warnings come slowly, white hair comes, and the man's back becomes hunched. He can't be as active as he used to be. He got stomach problems, heart problems. Every now and then he has to go to a doctor. If all that is all right, then he's got problem in his children. Some child has got some sickness. Just now today we heard the 6-month or 4-month child had a heart problem. He was taken to Lutuli, 5-hour operation, and by his own time he passed away. 6-month or 4-month old child. Or is Salim Duma's nephew. Right. So, some problem within the children, some problem in the business, something or the other is not working out. And we're trying to figure out why is it not working out. But as Muslims, as believers, we that believe in a creator who plans our affairs, who makes our works happen, who accomplishes our needs and aspirations, then we feel there is someone above who's arranging all this, who's making all this happening. It's not just happening of its own. It's not by accident. It's not coincident. It is designed. And there is a purpose. And the purpose is that أَوَلَمْ نُعَمِّرْكُمْ مَا يَتَذَكَّرُ فِي أَوَلَمْ نُعَمِّرْكُمْ مَا يَتَذَكَّرُ فِي That you must receive admonition. That see now, just now you were strong, no problems in the world, you were healthy, you were just moving. And now suddenly, the breaks come. There's a descent, there's a decline. Everything is not working out. So now, Allah Pak is telling you, through these incidents that's happening in your life, that take stock of yourself. Where are you going? Where are you heading? Okay. What's your goal? Do you know where you're heading towards? He's telling you in a different way. Do you know where you're heading towards? In this world, we don't hear the voice of Allah Ta'ala. Nobody hears it. But the warnings of Allah Ta'ala, we see it. سَنُرِيهِمْ آيَاتِنَا فِي الْآفَاقِ وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ سَنُرِيهِمْ آيَاتِنَا فِي الْآفَاقِ وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ بِأَنَّهُ الْحَقِّ Allah Ta'ala will show you His signs. Within yourself, within your own self, He will show you signs. In your surroundings, He will show you signs. I was explaining this morning, a person was living in a freehold property, his own nice palatial home, and he had some investments in the stock market. It's talking some 8, 9, 10 years ago, and the dollar was very strong. And the investment was going very, very well for him. It was going very well. According to what he had deposited, and what he had invested, that he was going, I think, 8 or 10 times, or even more. So the investment was wonderful for him, lucrative. In that greed now, what he went and did, so this investment is going so well, I got this freehold property, why don't I sell this, why don't I mortgage this, and invest it? And like a fool, poor chap, he went and mortgaged his property, he took the money, and he invested it into the stock market. And there the stock market came crashing down. The freehold property that he was enjoying, that also went away. Poor chap now is living in a rented house. That thing crashed, the money is gone, everything is wiped out, and he's living in a rented house. So Allah Ta'ala says in this verse, سَنُرِيهِمْ آيَاتِنَا فِي الْآفَاقِ وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُ الْحَقِّ We will show you our signs in different ways. Around in your surroundings we will show you. Within your own self we will show you signs. Signs means these symbols. These are symbols. They're indicating towards something that is more serious. So that you may reflect, you may take stock of yourself. You may understand the direction that you are taking. And you may understand the direction that you are going into. You may not feel that I'm just here, I'm coming from nowhere, and I don't know where I'm heading towards. See? This is our problem. We don't take the time and work out and try and discover where are we coming from and where we're heading to. See? In insan, in man, this needs to be, he must understand where he's coming from and where is he heading to. If that path and the road is worked out, then he knows his itinerary. He knows now, this is the path. How must I plan myself? Just that this path is such, okay, nothing is told to you in advance. Today you'll be right, tomorrow you're getting a heart attack, and the following day you're dying. Allah Pak is not going to disclose it to anybody. So now you have to understand and you have to work it out. Why did Allah not disclose it to you? Right? When he was the most gracious, the most loving, most kind, and you believe that he is the most kind, most gracious, And why didn't he disclose this information to you? Simple. He did not disclose this information to you or to any of us because he wants us to be always in readiness. This now, this moment I can take you away. This night I can take you away. Tomorrow morning I can take you away. So you be prepared. Let it not be that the time comes and you say I'm not ready. So you be prepared. So this period that I say that is the youth, this is the period that Allah Ta'ala likes most. You are all the energy, you are everything in you. Aspirations are high. Strength is there, energy is there. And then to your loyalty to your Rabb is first and foremost. It's paramount. That's your loyalty. Right? In spite of everything that you have, the wealth you have it, the strength you have it, the energy you have, the time you have, everything you have. There is no obstruction in doing anything. Nothing prevents you from doing anything. But then the love that you have harnessed for your Creator is to such a level, says no. That's in its place. But I cannot compromise in this love for my Creator. This is in its place. I have got all that. But that love, I don't want to interfere with that love. That I can't compromise with. Everything else I can compromise. But this love is a very, very sensitive love. It's a very delicate love. It's a very precious love. Let me not interfere with this. In the past, we had many youth. Who had this type of understanding. The Shaykh Sadi Rahmatullah says, there was a whole caravan of Hajis. In that caravan there was one youngster, between 18 and 20 years of age. And his behavior was quite strange, not normal. Now and then he'll get into a state of ecstasy, he starts singing. Then he starts jumping. Then he gets into a great ecstasy, now he's running. Then he's weeping. We took him for mad. He's a madman. His namaz, everything is punctual, is particular in that whole journey. But his behavior was something different. And we really took him as a madman. The olden days, now you're talking about 8 centuries ago, traveling by foot or by camel, etc. As we came into Makkah Mukarrama, and the Muallim guided us to the Kaaba Sharif. The Muallim tells us, Shuf hadha Baytullah. See, this is the Baytullah, this is the Kaaba Sharif. So this youth, he could not contain his sentiments any longer. That real love that he had for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that love that he was harnessing and he was generating all the time, he could not contain his love any longer. And he read a couplet. He says, Chu Ba Diyar Dilbar Barasi Basipar Jane Mustar. When you come to the house of the beloved, now you've come to the house of the beloved, so now offer yourself. For his love, offer yourself. Give yourself up for Allah's love. Say you love him. And you say you want him. So if you are true in your love, then you offer yourself to him. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in the farewell Hajj, he offered approximately 100 camels in sacrifice. I don't think there was any king who offered so many animals, any single king who offered so many animals in sacrifice. So Rasulullah SAW had offered 100 animals, 63 of it which he slaughtered himself, and the rest Ali radiallahu anhu had slaughtered. But the hadith says, كُلُّهُنَّ يَزْدَلِفْنَ إِلَيْهِ, and each one of those camels was pushing itself to Rasulullah SAW, that Rasulullah SAW must sacrifice it first, must pass the knife over its neck first. Now imagine that animal was so fortunate. It's being offered in the house of Allah Ta'ala, for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, at the hands of his beloved. What else? Can there be a greater blessing than that? In the house of Allah Ta'ala, for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, with the hands of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is being slaughtered. So these animals also, they have a degree of understanding. To us they may seem to be senseless, right? But Allah Pak says in the Quran, إِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ. Each animal, each creation, it recognizes its Rabb, it recognizes Allah Ta'ala, therefore it glorifies it. If it did not understand Allah Ta'ala, how could it have read the tasbih and the glory of Allah Ta'ala? It recognizes Allah Ta'ala, therefore it glorifies. Okay? So they knew now, at the hands of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I must go first. And they are pushing themselves forth to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam must pass his Mubarak hand, and he must pass the Mubarak knife over their necks first. So now when you come to the house of the beloved, then what is the aspiration? What are the sentiments? The sentiments are the highest. In that zamana, coming to the Kaaba Sharif was not a simple thing. Now, 1-2 weeks time, you arrange your passport, sahuk, whatever, and you boarded the flight, and there you in Makkah Mukarrama, right? It's so easy. So we become immune to the respect and the majesty of that house. And that time, it wasn't an easy thing. It was a difficult thing. With a lot of difficulty you reach up. So the sentiments, the happiness, and the love for Allah Ta'ala also will be really generated to its peak. It will go up right till the peak. So this youngster was holding that happiness of his and the love of his for Allah Ta'ala until he came right to the Kaaba Sharif. When he comes to that Kaaba Sharif, now he can't hold his sentiments any longer. His emotions have the better over him. And he says, Chu barasi badiyar dilbar basipar jane mustar. When you come to the house of the beloved, then offer yourself for his love. If you say you love him, now offer yourself for him. کہ مبادہ بار دیگر نرسی بدی تمنا, that maybe you don't get a second chance again to offer yourself to Allah Ta'ala. You've got this one chance, you've got this one opportunity to offer yourself for your Creator. Perhaps you will not get another chance to offer yourself for Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Now why don't you offer yourself? And he just shrieked, he gave a shriek and he fell dead at that spot. Mata fi hubbillah. He dies in the love of Allah Ta'ala. Can there be anything greater? He died in the love of Allah Ta'ala. He loves to meet his Creator and he gives himself up. So he died in the love of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. One is the person, Malakul Maut is approaching him and he resents death. He doesn't like death. He feels now that I'm going, I have to part from all this wealth, all that wealth, that hard-earned sweat wealth that I've earned for the ages. And هَذَا فِرَاقُ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ مَالِي. It's a point of separation from my wealth, for the sweat, for my heart labor, for the hard work that I put in. I'm being separated from this. So he can't endure this, he can't see it. So this man is dying, he is not looking at all forward towards dying. Why? Because his attachment of his wealth is too great and he can't separate. But Malakul Maut has got instructions, take his soul and come away. Now can you imagine the person's death? He has to leave, but he's leaving with a deep resentment for death. He doesn't have any type of yearning towards the hereafter. Now compare this person's death to this man's death, who died in the love of Allah Ta'ala. Recently there was a Tabligh Jamaat from Saudi Arabia, perhaps, or from Dubai. Dubai it was, I think. Arab Jamaat. So they say that the Pedal Jamaat was there in Paris. And a whole group of cyclists, they were going. So one girl came out from the cyclists and she met one of those Jamaat members. So the leader of the Jamaat, Amir, must have cautioned his entire group that now she's coming here. This country is such that we just can't do our own thing. We can't go and reprimand them, we can't hit them. So we can't reprimand them, we can't chase them away. But that does not mean that we don't guard our chastity, our purity and our faith. If they want to discuss with us, we must discuss, but guard our heart and our temptations, that we don't get lured towards them, towards their sweet talking, towards the apparel and garments and clothing, towards the attractive bodies, we don't get attracted. So she wanted to know, who are you? So they explained, this is our mission. And then they went on to explain about Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he had love for every ummati and he made dua for them. Maghfir li qawmi. For every ummati he had made dua. So they were shocked that your Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had made dua. He was such a compassionate person that he worried about every individual. Yes. So now we had a different outlook and a different picture of your Nabi. And we hear about your religion and your Nabi, we think of a man with a sword and with an AK-47, you know, a terrorist. But you are giving me a total different picture. I said, yes. Problem is, you didn't study our religion. Because you didn't study it, the little that you hear that comes before you, you take it, you buy that story. Anyway, she was convinced, she accepted Islam. A few days later, she got married to one of the local people. And it was the days of Hajj, they came to Makkah Mukarramah. So on the one night, when everybody is taken to their homes, to their hotels or their apartments, this woman hasn't returned. And it's late at night. Husband and a group of people went out searching until they came right to the Kaaba Sharif, and they see her inside the Hatim. The Hatim is part of the Kaaba Sharif, you know, the semicircle around the Kaaba Sharif that is part of the Kaaba Sharif. She is there in the state of sajda. Because the husband now, he identified his wife. He went and touched her and he found that she passed away. So what love she must have had for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Young woman, what was within her heart, her emotions, sentiments for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so great. Allah ta'ala took her right in his house. In spite of her background, she's coming from a white Christian background, but she had that love of Allah ta'ala. Allah ta'ala seen it. So Allah ta'ala allowed the Jamaat to go there, somehow invite her towards Islam, bring her to his house, and then take her soul away. So this is that love that we talk about, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not that now you love Allah ta'ala, you'll die straight away, no. You live a life, but your life will be not a life of a rat race. One property came right, or second property. Second property came right, or third property. third property came right now, one investment, second investment, and third investment, just around a circle. No. Now it is, you are circling the circle of love. You are ascending the mountain of love. You are swimming the ocean of love. See? It's a total different thing. Here also you are striving, here also you are striving. But as I said at the beginning, something meaningful, that you are happy and your Creator is happy with you. The one in whose arms you are going, the one that is going to embrace you now. At the time of separation from this world, the one that is going to embrace you, you are eager to meet him, embrace him, he is eager to embrace you. In the laps of Allah Ta'ala, he is embracing you, he is waiting for you, and you are waiting for him. Can there be anything better? So this is what we are speaking about, that this type of love of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, we need to rekindle. We need to generate within ourselves. We need to activate within ourselves. And a simple way to activate this love is we do these three works. One is when we retire to our homes in the confines of our rooms, then we think for some time, at least for 3 minutes or 5 minutes, we think to ourselves that what favors of Allah Ta'ala I've been enjoying from the morning till now. I got a good wife, I got good children, I'm on Islam, see? I had good meals, I've got a good shelter over my head, I don't have to do any much work, the clothes are taken care of, everything, all arrangements are made. And all the arrangements are made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not of my own, Allah Ta'ala made those arrangements. I got security, I got peace, everything, you name it, I got. I got a business that is secure, everything is worked out for me. I can't remember a day in my life that I had to go sleep hungry, no food at all. I don't remember a day in my life that I didn't have a bed to sleep or a roof over my head. I don't remember that. So now you think about the way Allah Ta'ala has favored you, He has blessed you. And then after that you think to yourself, how much have you paid for this love? He has blessed you like this, and what you have paid for this? The one that is working for you, you will ensure that you take the blood out of him, right? 8-9 hours, and then only will he be entitled for that 800 rand or 1,000 rand a week, right? But you will squeeze the blood out of him. And here I ask you, in retrospect, you ask yourself, what did not Allah Ta'ala give you? What didn't he give you? Everything he gave you. وَآتَاكُم مِّن كُلِّ مَا سَأَلْتُمْ. Whatever you asked for, we gave it to you. And what you didn't ask for, also we gave. We gave you more than what you asked. This, I don't mean to be funny, but anybody that is sitting here, can we say safely that we only own this amount of clothing? I'm sure none of us know exactly how many kurtas we got, how many shirts we got, how many pairs of trousers we got. Some of us will not even know how many pairs of shoes we've got. So Allah Ta'ala has blessed us, so much He's blessed us. And then what have we done for Him? 1 hour, 2 hours in the day, grudgingly, or we'll go and offer some type of service. And in that service also, our minds are in the business. It's not a pure, dedicated, devoted service. It's a half-half service to Allah Ta'ala, but in that service, in that offer that we are offering Allah Ta'ala, its half is divided between us, and between our business and Allah Ta'ala. Bodily, we are with Allah Ta'ala. Mentally, we're still in our business, calculating, trying to work out some other deal, whatever it is. So we think within that confine of our rooms, how much Allah Ta'ala has blessed us. What have we given and how much Allah Ta'ala has blessed us. And what we owe to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Then we thank Allah Ta'ala, we thank Him for all what He's done for us, and we sleep like that. So we're sleeping with a good heart, with a love for our Creator, that what He's done for me, how much He has blessed me. So this is the first thing we think and ponder over His favors. Number two is, we remember Him as much as we can, whether we are driving, we are walking amongst friends in the quiet, we remember, Allah Ta'ala, you have blessed me. Whichever way, zikr, tasbih, Quran Sharif, But remember him. He is the one that is favoring me. So I must remember him. They say, jiski khao, uski gao. You're eating from the person, so you must speak about him. Okay. That person that is working for you, then he must market your product. He can't go and market someone else's product at the time that he's working for you. So we are in the service of Allah Ta'ala, that you must market his product, take his name. We are under his employ. We are under his slavery, so you must talk about him. Whether in the shop, whether outside, wherever, but he is the foremost in our minds, in our hearts. So we remember him for some time. And the third thing we need to do is, then as much as we can, sit in the company of the righteous. Okay? Sit in the company of the righteous. You want the love of Allah Ta'ala, then you sit in the company of those who are already fired with his love. Those that have been fired with his love, you sit with them. So inshallah, by sitting with them, at least some of that warmth of the love of Allah Ta'ala will pass on to you. Allah Ta'ala tawfiq naseeb.